All right, let's go.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Don Cherry Grapevine Podcast. We were voted biggest and best in 2020 by Apple Podcast, and I love that.
And
we're up over 3 million downloads so far, and everything's going great.
What do you mean 3 million?
Well, people, 3 million people have listened to us since we started.
Oh, yeah, good show.
Scary thought, eh, Dad?
Oh, no, hockey night in Canada.
Yeah, that's
true. And I did Coach's Corner.
That's right.
That was the most watched thing on TV.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
Well,
in hockey.
How did they get rid of me then?
So just before we get going, Debbie, we've got about some stuff we want to talk about. Just want to remind people that we talked a little bit about last week, Cindy, about the scam with the Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
And, gee, I love
that. Well, you know, we were sort of kidding about it, and then all of a sudden we found out. Dun 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 dun. There's some people losing some money, I hear.
Yeah.
I don't think you lose money, do you?
Well, that fall for it.
Well, once they get your credit card, you're in trouble. So.
Yeah.
So remember that we only do spreads.ca and Don Cherry's Pet Rescue. But
That's it.
I've checked now since we've talked about it. I haven't seen it on Facebook.
Now
they went after Kevin O'Leary and Dr. Suzuki.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
I saw it. It really looks professional, and I felt bad. You were saying, Tim. No, who was telling me? Somebody was telling me. You were telling me that they invested money.
Well, we went down to see your brother, Uncle Rich. Some of his friends were doing it, and. Even Uncle Rich and my cousin Stephen, your nephew, said, "Geez, I can't believe Uncle Don's in Bitcoin. I didn't think he's that sophisticated."
So that's scary, it looked that
Uncle
real.
Uncle Rich was there, yeah.
Yep. So just reminder, when you're on the internet, always be careful. And if Dad's promoting, especially with Dad saying Dad went on Stephen Colbert,
I'd be on with him.
Was the fake. So Dad, I guess we want to talk about, the big news around the world was the fall in Afghanistan and the airport in Kabul. In 2010, you were over there. What was it? 2010, you were over there. So what was it like when you were over there?
Funny. I remember when I said, what a phony I am that I keep talking about Afghanistan. And here I am, Christmas coming up, and I'm home and the whole deal. And so anyhow, I thought, well, I'm going to go over at Christmas. And I'll tell you the whole story, how it happened. So I go to the airport, driven to the airport, and I brought into some place, I forget, and Air Canada. And there was Jimmy Mack, who was the comedian. Without Jimmy Mack, I'd never finished the whole thing. I'll tell you that later. And it was a French-Canadian singer and some politicians there. And I said, what have I got into here? Can't back out now. So we flew in, and we sat there for a while, and we flew into what, Kabul? What do you pronounce it?
Yeah, I think Kabul, the Kabul airport, the one that's under siege now that you flew into.
So we flew into there. You told me I didn't know where I flew in. And then we stayed there for maybe a half hour, and then we flew to someplace else. And when we landed, I said, I want to go to the hockey rink, where all the hockey players went. So I go there. And it wasn't any ice in it, naturally. They played.
What was the weather like?
It was at night. It is freezing, and I mean freezing. And during the day, it's hot. I mean, why we ever were over there is beyond me. So I was being kidded by two soldiers up in the. They're up sitting on the stand. So I thought they were from Canada, and I went over. And after they were from Rochester, New York.
What are the odds?
Yeah,
so they would mix up like the American troops and the Canadian troops?
I don't know
how
they got there. How
does that work? Yeah.
I don't know how it worked. But they were there and they were kidding me and they remembered the work.
So kind of just jump in. Kind of the funny thing is Peter McKay, who was the Minister of Defense.
He wasn't there.
Yeah, but he was asking you to do this for a while.
Yeah.
And that's when the Patricia Pats were there.
Yeah.
And then when you said, when you landed, you found out the Van Dues were there, and they're from Quebec. So
yeah, I didn't know how I'd be accepted.
I said, Dad, you better not worry about the Taliban. You better worry about the Van Dues.
Yeah, and I remember that I remember the very first time we met, it was a big circle, and the general wasn't there. How do you, Natazak? I never did pronounce it. I knew him, but I didn't know how to pronounce his last name. Mm-hmm. How do you say it, Tim?
I don't know. I'll look it
up. Natazak. Anyhow, something like that. He was a great guy. And so I was there, and I was all by myself, and I don't know where the other guys were. I was all, and it was kind of,
tense.
Tense. That's the word, tense. And when he came in, you know, introduced, and I flew over and all that stuff and everything. So they were okay. The Van Dudes, they're a great bunch. And I remember they had Christmas dinner, and the general served all the troops.
Yeah, that
was really something. And so anyhow.
Well, I remember, I think you were telling the story that when you were talking to Van Dudes, like you held up a sign of the Washington Capitals and they all booed.
Yeah.
And then you held up a sign of the Montreal Canadiens.
No, Toronto.
Toronto, and they all booed.
Yeah.
And then you held up Montreal, and they cheered. They kind of cheered. And then somebody yelled,
"What about the Nordiques?"
Viva la Nordiques. And they and everybody cheered. So it's funny how they're still like the Quebec Nordiques seem to be still in the hearts of like you know the Quebec.
The greatest Quebec. Tim, I have said. The greatest rivalry of all sports in the world, never mind, in the world, is Quebec and Montreal. And I think it all stems from that time they had the big brawl. But anyhow.
But it was funny. Eh? They were all
They all loved the Nordiques. They all loved the Nordiques.
Well, there's a great picture that I have, and I'm sure it's on the internet now somehow, of you signing a missile. Didn't you sign a missile?
Oh, I signed a missile about something.
About good luck or...
good luck or something like that.
This. It was anyhow, classic.
I remember they said, I don't know. That night I went out with the soldiers. I thought, with the soldiers and I had a lot of... chicken wings, greasy chicken wings.
Which you never eat.
Never. And beer and a drink. So at about 4 o'clock in the morning, I thought, my toe was just killing me. I thought, how did I break my toe? I couldn't even stand the sheets on it. I could hardly walk. And luckily, he didn't. Peter McKay never showed up. Or something. They said the plane wasn't ready to go. You see those big planes? That's what we were in one of those big planes.
So those are like the cargo planes. They're not exactly.
Cargo.
And you're used to Air Canada first class. I mean, it
yeah,
must have been
we were sitting on the sides, and they had, they could put tanks in there. Tanks, trucks, everything. It was so big.
It was
monstrous.
Well, how many were you in? We're in it, like 5 or 10 people?
At the most. And we were sitting at the side. And
so tell us about your toe. What happened?
Oh, the toe is just killing me. And you know the rocks that they have over there, that they have all in the camp and that, they're not small rocks, or they're not big rocks. They're right in the middle. So I had to walk on them.
And I'm sure you didn't have comfortable shoes.
No,
you had
like
your dress shoes.
Like
you had
a
your
fool.
Dress shoe. Yeah.
I was like a fool.
You never everyone else.
And had. I had running shoes too. What a fool.
And you
I
had
was.
To play because it didn't go with your
I'm dressed up
and your toes and you cram your toe in there and you're walking on
cobblestones. I am a stupid person.
But so, who would ever think that you could get that sick that fast in a toe from one night of beer
one
and
night.
Wings?
And I thought, and it bugged me the whole time. So we had to wait. We had to wait for Peter. And when he came, all of a sudden the planes are all good and everything. And we had to do five different places because we were supposed to do in one day.
Wow!
Oh, so five boy. Different like.
But you go in a helicopter or a plane?
Helicopter. Yeah. And
so you got to really see the landscape.
No, I didn't see nothing. They all it all looked the same. Why anybody would want to fight for that country is beyond me. I still don't understand. But anyhow, we got and Jimmy Mack was terrific. They laughed at all his jokes, and they really liked the French guy. They didn't know me. They didn't care one way or another. I'm telling jokes about Boston. They don't care. So I remember we went to an American one. We might as well go. So we went to the American one, and I remember how dispirited, if that is the word.
You saw a real difference, didn't you?
Did I ever. And I remember the sergeant hollering at them, and one of our soldiers, who were great shape, they looked like hockey players, they were ready to go. So And the American said, yeah, it's okay for you. You're going to be over here for 4 months. And we said, we've been here for 8 months. And he says, we hate it here. You know, and they really did hate it there. They were forced to stay there. And they were forced into the... Anyhow, we were all good. And Jimmy Mack was great. And they loved
it. So tell us about the one where they said you went over the wire or across
the wire. Oh, Peter McKay
said...
No, I'll get to that. So now we fly, and Peter McKay says, I'm going outside the wire. Well, like, check it. So am I. So we flew that night.
Tell what that means. That means you're...
I don't know. We're out in the middle.
From the bases, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you're going out, like, out far away from where the bases are.
So anyhow, we fly out. And before we land at this place, and the general of the place says no pictures taken, no anything, and no can't. I didn't care because I thought I was going to be. I went out and it was special forces.
Oh,
it was special forces, and they give me a standing ovation and clap. I had tears rolling down my eyes. I really did. I was pretty tired, eh? And
you said they were taking so many. They said don't take pictures, and they all they all had their cameras.
The general said no pictures. I don't want any pictures. This is special forces, and he was going on and okay. They took so many pictures. The one guy took so many pictures with the big camera. It overheated. They had to leave it, and so I did my best. And so we went up on top of the building. It was like in the movies, like flat. Like the building flat. And they had waited to play the hockey game. They played a road hockey game. And we were down watching. And I said to the guy, and it was a big moon out there and everything. And we're up on top there. And I said, aren't you guys afraid of the Taliban? And they said, no, they're over that hill over there. I said, Taliban's over there. He says, well, they don't bother us. They were special forces. I won't go any further. And they never bothered us. And he said, in fact... He said the Taliban owned this building. They were here before we came, and they took it. Anyhow, they were special forces. I really felt good. And so now, I get on. I'd lost my jacket in the afternoon, and it was hot, and I didn't care. Boy, that night I'm flying back in the helicopter, and there's a helicopter before us, and they kept machine gunning all the time, and you can hear the machine guns going, and.
So you could hear gunfire.
Oh, yeah. I could hear the helicopter before us. Big, great big helicopter. Two big ones. And I said, why are they firing so much? She says, well, when they're spraying the jungles or whatever they have there, and they keep their heads down because they... And we fly on right after. So we made it back. I'm hurrying this up. So we get back, and the guy comes running out. He says, we can make it back to Toronto. Yeah, there's a direct flight to Toronto, and we're really excited.
Yeah.
So we get in the little van. We're all ready to go, and we wait and we wait and we wait. And what are we waiting for? We're going to miss the plane. The French guy had blow dry his hair. So we missed the plane. We had to sit all night.
Didn't you have to go via Germany? Like you went?
No, we flew to some place. We ended up in Washington D.C. It was just a madhouse, and I remember getting on the plane, and they said, we don't think we can take off because of the de-icing. It was, it was middle of the winter.
Mm.
Oh, boy, I tell you. So we finally take off. We got home. I forget. As I walked to the door, I said to my wife, piece of cake. But I tell you.
But you're a big fan. Like, people don't realize, or maybe they do, that you have... one of the most extensive libraries on T.E. Lawrence of Arabia.
Yes, you're right.
And he was kind of, I don't think he fought the Turks there, but the same type of area. So was it like he described?
It was just, and you know, when I don't know. I really don't know, but I read. And it's just like you said, Tim, Lawrence of Arabia in 1918 said Syria is going to be, and he says, you'll never beat the Arabs. You'll never beat them, and you never will beat them because
he fought like the way
years.
The Taliban did. He fights the way the Taliban did. They fight, and then when the Turks came, they just went back into the
You can't tell the difference. You can't tell the difference. And oh yeah, and I have to tell about, I was walking along the with some soldiers, they, you know, going into the town or something, I'd buy something. And he said, "You're with that politician, eh?" And I said, "Well, you know, they flew over with me." "You know what I'll tell you about them? I'll tell you about the politicians," they said. "The people over here, Taliban, asked, like, they weren't the Taliban. I don't know what they, well, I guess they were."
Well, he was saying that, like, you don't know, right? Like,
no, you don't know.
You don't know who you're talking to.
So they needed some saws.
They needed saws, like, to cut wood.
Yeah, well, it made sense. And the politician sent over a ton of saws. And what the people over there did, well, I guess it was a Taliban. They put the saws in the bomb, or and lay it over top. And when it would explode, it would be like shrapnel.
Ugh.
And the police. And the soldiers told me, they said, "No, it's a politician." And he was getting mad at me. No, it was, they were in shape and they were ready to go. We, the Van Dues were ready to go, and the Patricia Patsko over there, I think we, and they were all in shape. And I'm glad I went. And it was at Christmas, and because I felt like a phony talking about it all the time. And the reason Ron didn't go, nobody knew I was going. And I was the only, and halfway through, it hadn't been for Jimmy Mack. I remember one time I had to go to the, I said to Marine, I said to Jimmy Mack, I have to go to the washroom. So I went, and so the Marine got it, and he drove me to where they have the showers. And he says, "Well, you have to go wash, don't you?"
The washroom.
The difference between American and Canadian lingo.
When I see you over there, and you know, this is my opinion, Who are we to tell the Taliban or anybody how to live? If this, they've been living like that for 1,000 years, and we go over there and we did this year. I don't agree. We should have been over there.
You don't agree in nation building.
No, I don't. I don't agree. We should tell anybody how to live, and I don't think anybody should come here and tell us how to live. How's that sound?
That sounds good. Makes sense to me.
All right. What are we going to talk about next?
Okay, well, let's thank our sponsors, Spreads.ca. They're a Canadian-owned online sports book and casino. And if you sign up and use the promo Grapes, they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get a spin on the big wheel for some big dough. And your first sports bet is they'll spot you $25. So, and
Mac,
football's coming on. So I was just looking that Tampa Bay, right, the Buccaneers, Tom Brady won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then they won the Stanley Cup, right?
Oh, that's, yeah, I forgot about that.
So, and Tampa Bay's in first spot in the division right now, and they're 12-1 favorites. So imagine if the Rays win, that'll be the first time in sports that anybody won the Super Bowl, World Series, and Stanley Cup.
Well, I always think of Tom Brady. I saw him. He looks pretty good. He looks in pretty good shape for... you tell me he drinks, what was that you tell me he drinks?
Like I read, like every morning he gets up and he drinks like a liter of water. It's the first thing he does. He's really big into hydration. Yeah. So he's big into.
And I see his kid is a ball boy there, eh? One of his kids.
Yeah. His kids played hockey when he was in New England.
Yeah.
Yeah. They showed him carrying his kid's bag into practice.
Everybody plays hockey.
Hockey sort of equalizes everyone, right?
Well,
no matter who you are.
In New England, everybody, especially around Boston, everybody played hockey.
Okay, Dad, before we move on, just one little note that I want to talk.
Change the subject. We got pretty serious there for a while.
Change the subject. Remember, Cindy, you and I, we talked a long time ago about we don't know what Hockey Canada is?
Yes.
Well... somebody is looking into Hockey Canada's finances, and Hockey Canada has took them to court to block.
Who was it?
They don't want to disclose their books.
Right. It was the Heritage, the Canadian Heritage Ministry wanted to look at.
Well, bless them.
Well, and that's the thing I didn't understand. I thought somebody told me that Hockey Canada was part of the government. So why is the government now?
And even if it isn't, and it's a non-profit organization,
and the government,
they have to, and all non-profits in Canada have to disclose their books. So what's their,
on top of all the crowds they get, the Ontario government gives them, Canadian government gives them $10 million.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Well,
yeah.
I don't...
So anyway, they don't want people to see what. They're
I don't know anything about it.
But well, anyway, that
just, we'll keep you informed.
We'll keep you informed. It was just interesting that we talked about that, and somebody's kind of digging into that.
Yeah.
So Dad, I just before we're going to talk about Brad Park in a minute, and but I got a trivia question for you, Cindy. You too. See if you know. Okay, who were the top 10 point scorers, point getters in the 2010s?
Well, I think it'd be Ron Crosby's got
to
be
so
one.
So 2010 is from 2010 to 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So who was it?
Well, I got to be Crosby.
Crosby was second.
Oh, yeah?
Who's number one then?
And I thought, well, I picked Ovechkin, but he's third.
Well, he's gold, I would imagine. Yeah.
We have to get number one.
Patrick Kane.
Patrick Kane.
Who'd have thought that?
I would have never been. You know, it's funny you say that. I remember, you know, when we were Hockey Night in Canada, we always had the
guys that are about to get drafted.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
And
great.
He was there first. And I thought, what's this little kid doing here?
They all look so young.
Oh, you should have seen him. He looked skinny. To be about 10 years old. He looked to be about 6 inches wide. So, I thought it was guy working around the arena or something.
Some stick boy or something.
Yeah, stick boy. Stick boy was even bigger. And I thought, well, this guy's going to get killed.
Yeah.
And he talked right up like most Americans do. Yeah. No, he wasn't going to get killed.
Yeah, you said something there that's funny. The Americans always talked a lot more.
Right? Oh, yeah. Like,
they always
I
had
remember,
something to say.
Pat what was it?
Oh, it was...
Pat LaForge, eh? No, no.
No, no. It was...
Pat LaFontaine.
No.
Yeah,
the guy that gave you the shirt?
No, no, that was Jack Eichel.
Eichel, yeah.
No, no, I was always talking about, all the time about, you know, the EPHL, and I was always talking about the GTHL and how great it was and how all the hockey players did. And so he gave me an American tee. I remember he gave me I still have that,
yeah,
American golf shirt.
Yeah, Jack Eichel said, "Here, Don, this is for you. Thanks for all the support."
Yeah,
we got good. That. We have that autographed. It was Eichel, McDavid.
We had a picture.
Marner.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I got the picture.
Do
you have the shirt still?
Yeah, we were holding up the shirt, yeah.
Yeah, I held up the shirt and the whole deal.
So some of these names, I just would not have got this. So the top two.
Tell us. So Patrick
Kane's number one.
Who would ever thought he'd be the... Who'd ever thought? Go ahead.
From the 2010s, from 2010 to 2019. Crosby's next, then Ovechkin. Know who fourth is? Claude Giroux.
See what happens? You play in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
And you get lost.
Yeah.
And okay, go ahead.
John Tavares. So there you go. And the top five, two London Knights.
Yeah.
Kane and Tavares. Then Evgeny Malkin. Then Stamkos. And here's another one I couldn't get over. Phil Kessel. As eight, Kessel. Blake Wheeler is nine, and Nicholas Backstrom is 10th. So
I would, you know,
those are names that aren't quite as popular that you would think.
I thought Crosby would be the number one, didn't you?
Yeah, but
how many points is he behind?
Almost 45 points, 46 points.
Well, Crosby changed his game, though. Let's face it, he changed his game.
Yeah, but I just thought that. Thought that was...
That's a little trivia thrown in after a serious about...
So, Dad, we got a note from a couple of people that we've talked quite a bit about John Rattel, but we never really talked much about Brad Park. So people wanted to know, especially a couple of guys from Alberta who are faithful listeners, wanted to know, what was Brad Park like?
I'll tell you about Brad Park. He had, you know, I did not know. I was a punker down in Rochester. I did not know that he had a running feud with the Boston fans. He'd written a book. I forget what the name of the book was. Play the Man. And was that the book he wrote?
Yep.
Anyhow, Play the Man. And he really gave it to the Boston fans. And now he gets traded. And I did not know. And the players did not like that were there before. Did not, let's say they were not crazy over him. I mean, let me just tell you about how the trade came about. Harry, we were going nowhere. I mean, I'm not knocking Phil because Phil was a good guy. I remember the coach who was there before said, "You keep your eye on Phil Esposito," and he was a great guy. His only problem was he went 4 minute shifts. If the shift was 8 minutes, he got 8 minutes. Anyhow, and I was one of the first guys that had in Rochester had them down about a minute. Now, what are they now?
Well, I can remember his big thing when we were watching him in Boston was that if he was about to take the draw and you wanted him off, then he'd sort of roll his head and he'd adjust his elbow pads and look up at the clock and then go off. And
you know, he'd be almost saying, look at this dummy taking me off.
And I looked at Ma, I says, oh boy, well, Dad must really be mad when he looks up at the clock and sort of gives it that nonchalant.
Yeah, imagine taking me off.
Yeah, imagine.
The other joke was that poor Andy Savard had one leg over the boards waiting.
Sit on the boards waiting for him to change on
he
the
was
fly.
Saying, you know, Andy, you'll never have children waiting.
Yeah, I said, yeah. Andy was funny. So anyhow, I remember Harry come to me and he said, what do you think of a trade of Rattel and Park? And I hadn't seen the play and they were leading scores. And I was for it. I can hear if Harry hears this. And he's saying, yeah, you never supported me. So anyhow, they went on and on and back and forth, back and forth. And we wanted to give Dallas Smith, we had a defenseman, they wanted Vadnais. Vadnais scored 20 goals. He was, weren't giving him any points. Well, Phil had scored 78 goals and 68 goals, which, you know, we weren't giving him any punkers. We were giving him good hockey players. So anyhow, I remember we were in Vancouver. And I get a call from Harry. Well, I won't go. So
yeah, we kind of talked about this last week.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So you want to talk about? So what do you want?
Well, we just said like when Brad Park came, kind of.
Oh yeah, Park came, and I remember they came to the room him and Rattel. Nobody met them at the airport or anything. They just took a cab. I wanted them, but I was kind of funny about.
Well, the thing is, back then. There's not like there was a lot of TV. You wouldn't have seen them play very much.
No. Well, I knew Park, and I knew Rattel. I played against Park. He played for Buffalo, and I played against him. I knew he was good, and I knew Rattel was good because I'd seen him play. But I knew they were both hurt. So they come to the room, they came to the room in Vancouver, and I was in my T-shirt, and I'd have them ready for a nap. They just came in time for a nap, and... I didn't know. I forget what I said. Welcome to the club.
What did the players? Did the players kind of cool them? Or
no, I don't know. I don't know.
Because of that book.
Past history and the way they played. So we lost the first game. And 5-3 or something. I forget what it was. And I phoned my mother. I don't know why I phoned my mother. I phoned my mother and I said, we just won the Stanley Cup. And we made a trade and the whole deal. I could... So Harry phones me. I'll never forget Harry phoned me. He said, what happened in the game? I says, Harry, we lost the game, but I said I saw something. You better see something. He says, if you didn't see something and we don't start winning the game, he said, you're gone and I'm gone.
Yeah.
So,
But we've said that. I think Brad Park's probably one of the more underrated players because he got stuck behind Bobby Orr. And then Pot Van came.
Yeah.
And then Pot Van became kind of like the top guy. He just fell right into that.
Yeah.
Didn't you say also in the dressing room that he was sort of a master at the game in the sense of playmaking and all this, and you were giving his lectures?
Well, he was really a smart guy. And you know what? When he was in New York, I could not believe that he led the New York Rangers in penalty, well, 100 minutes in penalty.
You got 100 minutes almost every year.
Yeah, every year.
We looked it up. The last 3 years of him in New York, he had 13 fights.
Ridiculous. I mean, he wasn't that good a fighter. He was okay.
Didn't you give him an order?
Well, what did I tell you about the order? So I'm having a meeting, and I had it in the paper. And I think he had a fight with Polonich or something.
Right, it was Dennis. I remember it because it was Dennis Polonich. He was the guy that Wolf Paymon really
did a number. Someday I should talk about that one. Woo!
Really gave it to him.
Cut him for about 45 stitches. Nobody fooled with. We didn't even fool with Belmont. Wolf Paymon. So I made a statement and I said, if you fight. I'm going to suspend you. I wouldn't suspend him. How could I suspend him? I said, I don't want you fighting and all that stuff. Now you're off the ice with Polonich. And I remember him saying, he said, well, what if somebody spares me? I said, don't worry. Somebody will be there to take care of the guy. We had four guys that were Winsick, John Winsick. We had Terry O'Reilly. We had Wayne Cashman.
Stan Jonathan. Yeah,
so. Weren't you surprised that he, because he was, he gave, I think he sort of at one point gave you some ideas on playmaking and all that.
Well,
in the dressing
room. That was in the morning practice.
But wasn't, aren't you surprised that he never made it as a coach? Like, because he was such an intellectual.
Well, he was coaching and then he was with Detroit and he got in trouble because there was a Brent Clarence Ball. And he did what he should have done. He took responsibility for it. He should have never said.
That's one time he should have said the players just left.
Yeah, but he was being honest.
He was being honest.
Well, that's a mistake.
You know, when he played, his last year he played, I'll never forget the last year he played. He couldn't even move.
He had a lot of knee injuries.
Oh, he really had. I have to get into any. And I said, how do you, I think he was plus 30.
Something like that.
Yeah, he's plus 30. And I said, how do you do it? He says, the players are so stupid now they come right to me. So anyhow.
Do you know that he was voted best in Game 8 in the 72 Summit Series, like the big game that they won?
Yeah.
He was MVP of the game. He had two goals. He had a goal and two assists.
He never, ever got the credit he should have got.
Yeah, and he was voted the best defenseman in that tournament.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I won't tell you again about what Bobby Hull said. It's a good job, Bobby. A good job Ord didn't play. And he says if he hadn't played, there wouldn't have been a Game 8. What's the Game 8? Anyhow, it was the game that they won. So, any park.
Well, I remember the one thing, too. We were playing Montreal in the finals, and he got a 2x4. Was it 2x4?
A 2x4, yeah.
And he put it on the ice, and he was shooting. He was just shooting it over.
Yeah,
right?
And I said, what the hell you got the 2x4 out here for? That's the width of a hockey stick. And he just put it over. And he found out, and remember the goal he got against Dryden? He right along the ice. That's the only way you'd ever beat Dryden. You think it'd be up high, but no, you beat. So he was there, and he said, I remember we had a meeting. I could go on and on about him. I remember the time when he was coming back from a knee injury. Last shift in Halifax, he wrecked his knee.
The last shift of the exhibition season.
Exhibition.
He stepped on a rut.
Something. Oh. And he was out. We'd won 18 straight. We hadn't lost in 18. And I hated to break up a winning combination. And sure enough, he said, I want to play. And I said, oh, I figured against Washington. I said, okay, now listen. When you get out there, you can't move until your knee gets better. Pass the puck. And don't try to go with the puck. Well, no, he would try to go with the puck, and they got the tying goal. And, you know, I took a towel, and usually you throw a towel. I threw the towel, and it landed right on him and covered him right up.
Oh,
and how embarrassing it was. Remember?
Well, you weren't aiming for him, were you?
No, well, in his way, but.
Yeah, I remember you said that was the one thing you did feel bad.
You really felt
bad.
Yeah,
and he wasn't going to play.
Do you know at one time he was the highest paid player in the NHL?
Is that right?
Yeah. It was right at after the 72, his contract was up, and the WHA tried to lure him away.
He made a mistake, leaving Boston.
And then he got $200,000. That was the highest paid player in the National Hockey League.
No, it's pocket change for the guys now.
Yeah, exactly.
McDavid makes that in the game.
Well, as soon as I saw Park, I knew what his problem was. He was too heavy. What'd they call him, the Pillsbury Doughboy?
Well, remember what happened was, this is a story that I remember you were saying, that it was the first game back in New York, and he was going up the ice, and somebody called him from the Rangers, and he put the puck right back to the guy. The guy walked in and scored. And he said, what did he say, Brad? He goes, never mind. So finally you find out they used to call him Doughboy, like Pillsbury Doughboy.
He was so fat.
No.
Yeah. So I said, don't worry about that. So because I played him to death, he had a suit on, and I remember the airport. I remember, he says, look what you've done to me, Grapes, and he let on. His suit was too big. I bet he lost 20 pounds, and he was terrific.
I think he's so underrated, he doesn't make the underrated list.
Yeah, what did he do?
This is what he was a first All-Star from 1970 and 72, 74, 76, 78. He was runner-up on the Norris Trophy, because with Bobby, he was runner-up 1970, 1971, 72, 74, 76, and 78.
Holy
so if Bobby wasn't there, Park would have won.
Always the bridesmaid.
Yeah. And then he played an NHL All-Star game from 1970 right to 1978. And was in the Hall of Fame in 88. And
the first year, I think it was.
Yeah, and the Hockey News ranked him 49th on the greatest players. But yeah. Still, when they talk about great defensemen. And
they should talk about him.
They should, yeah, because he's...
How many years he lasted? He lasted 17 years, yeah. And he had a bad knee. Imagine, and everybody had bad knees back in those days. Anyhow, he was a great guy. I'm glad. And he made me, him and Rattel... I'll just tell you one more story, and then we got to go. It's a story we used to have, in the morning we used to have morning skate, and then after any questions, and everybody knew we had to drive back. Nah, never mind. And Brad would get up, and I'd be pounding, and guys would be looking at me, and I'd go like that. So it got to the point that every time I'd say, "Is there anybody you want to bring anything up?" And Brad would get up. So finally I said, "Okay, has anybody got anything to bring up? Not you, Brad." Anyhow, he was a great guy. And I tell you, I won Coach of the Year. And I wouldn't have won without him.